We often think that no organization, no matter how big or how critical, is truly immune to a cyber threat. But you still sort of expect national governments with massive budgets and, their national security mandates to be the safest places on the planet. But we got a pretty stark reminder that they're not. Just a few weeks ago, actually overnight, between December 11th and 12th, 2025, we're talking a major cyber attack against the French Ministry of the Interior. I mean, this is a foundational national security target. They handle everything from police ops to citizen records. So we spent the last week just pulling apart a whole stack of sources on this, really detailing the timeline, the suspect, the very personal motives here, and the organized crime links.
Okay, let's unpack this. Our whole mission today is to move past the headlines and really extract the critical, urgent lessons this holds for every organization, whether you're in government or, running a small business. What should you be doing right now?
And that mission is absolutely vital. This whole incident, it just exposes this massive shift in the cyber landscape. This wasn't just about a broken system. It was about the potential exposure of data on 16 million citizens. Mm-hmm. So when you dig in, you realize the story is less about where it happened and more about the evolving strategic why of modern cybercrime.
So let's start with that sequence of events. The intrusion was detected overnight, December 11th into the 12th. And this wasn't a simple smash and grab, was it?
No, not at all. The attackers, they gained access to internal email servers and deeper government document repositories. They were really inside.
Yeah, it wasn't random access.
No, they specifically went after the automated personal data processing systems. These are the platforms that manage, core government functions, citizen records, internal comms.
So the crown jewels, basically.
Absolutely. Huh. The display cases for the most valuable items, that makes them a prime target for profit, for disruption, or, as we're about to see, for leverage.
And this is where the scale just becomes alarming. While the French authorities were still trying to figure out the damage, posts started popping up on breach forums.
A known hacker forum.
And the claim was just staggering. They said they'd taken data on 16,444,373 individuals, and that it was mostly police records.
And if that number is accurate, it makes this a truly historic breach. But it's not just the volume, it's the type of data. Targeting police databases that has profound implications.
Wait, we're not talking about credit card numbers you can just cancel and replace.
Exactly. We're talking criminal records, maybe sensitive informant or witness identities, investigation details. The risk here goes so far beyond just identity theft. You're looking at long-term consequences, threats to people's safety, compromised investigations. When data this sensitive gets out, it elevates the breach from a technical problem to a full-blown national crisis.
So that brings up the big question, who is behind it and why? The law enforcement response here was, I have to say, impressive. Breach detected on the 12th.
And just 5 days later, on December 17th, they had a suspect in custody.
Which really highlights France's commitment here. But the suspect's profile, that's what's fascinating. A 22-year-old,
awesome.
Born in 2003.
Yeah, but here's the thing. He wasn't the ghost. Our sources show he was already known to law enforcement.
Wait, already known? So this was a repeat offender?
A repeat offender. He'd been convicted earlier in 2025 for similar cyber offenses.
So, if he was already on a radar, how does a known offender manage to hit a target of this scale? Doesn't that raise some serious questions?
It absolutely does. It speaks to a couple of things. First, the limits of enforcement if the vulnerabilities are still there. And second, just the sheer commitment of some of these actors. The investigation is being led by France's cybercrime office, OFAC, and they are pursuing some very heavy charges here. Unauthorized access as part of an organized group.
And that phrase, organized group, that's the key, isn't it? It connects this one person to the bigger ecosystem.
Exactly. And that's where the motive gets really interesting. The attack happened at the exact same time as the relaunch of breach forums.
That underground marketplace for stolen data we mentioned.
Right. And the admins of that forum, they didn't even try to hide it. They came out and publicly claimed responsibility.
Framing the whole thing as direct retaliation.
That's the critical piece. This wasn't just opportunistic. It was targeted revenge. The motive was retaliation for the arrests earlier in 2025 of five big breach forums moderators.
The ones with the aliases, Shiny Hunters, Hollow.
Yep. Knotted, Depressed, and Intel Broker. So when you look at the big picture, you see cybercrime evolving way beyond just financial gain. This was personal, a vendetta.
So what does that mean for security strategy? They were demanding negotiations with the ministry to stop the data release? They gave them a week.
Exactly. This shows they value that political and psychological leverage just as much, maybe more, than cryptocurrency. A purely financial group just sells the data.
Or holds it for ransom quietly.
Right. But a group motivated by revenge, they weaponize the exposure itself. Their goal is maximum public humiliation, creating distrust. And that is a much greater strategic risk for any government.
Okay, let's talk about how they got in. The ministry, understandably, kept the technical details quiet, but we can look at the likely entry points. It started with the email system, right? That's always the front door.
It is. It's the easiest and most common entry point. When we see attacks like this, it's usually, you know, the usual suspects.
Mm-hmm.
Phishing, credential theft, maybe an unpatched vulnerability in the email software.
So for anyone listening, email security has to be your absolute number one priority.
It's your primary perimeter. It has to be rigid.
And once they were inside the email system, we know they started moving laterally. But to get to those core document repositories, they needed a big jump in access level.
That's right. You don't get into those core systems with just a basic user account. It strongly suggests they got elevated privileges.
Meaning an admin's credentials, basically.
That's the most likely scenario. Either compromising an administrator's account or some very clever social engineering against a high-level employee.
And just to put that in context, what kind of files would elevated privileges unlock that a normal user wouldn't see?
Oh, you're talking personnel files, internal affairs reports,
yeah,
legal documents on active court cases, the entire email archive of senior officials. It's the difference between stealing user logs and stealing the institution's memory.
And government agencies have that added challenge of legacy systems.
It's a huge challenge. They have these complex, layered, aging systems. And they're trying to modernize security, but they also have to maintain 247 continuity for citizen services. It's this constant trade-off.
And attackers know exactly where to find those gaps.
They do. When the breach was detected, the ministry's first job was containment. They activated their incident response protocols immediately.
Which means what, in practical terms?
Tightening access controls for everyone, enforcing multi-factor authentication, MFA, and just massively increasing system monitoring. That rapid response is crucial to limit how far an attacker can move.
It's so important to broaden the scope here. This isn't just a one-off French problem. It's a global pattern.
It really is. Governments everywhere are facing the exact same playbook every single day.
And our sources cite some big examples that showed the same weaknesses. You have the SolarWinds supply chain attack in the U.S., which was just devastating.
Mm-hmm.
You have the breach of Germany's Bundestag. And, of course, the U.K.'s NHS ransomware incident, which completely shut down patient care.
And what all of those incidents show are these common systemic weaknesses. Aging infrastructure, not enough security investment, and this is key. They are facing highly motivated, well-funded attackers.
Whether it's a nation state or an organized group,
yeah,
like breach forums.
Exactly. And now, this is the pivot point for you if you're listening. If you're running a small financial firm or a mid-sized company, just remember, the criminals use the exact same tactics against you. Phishing, credential stuffing, lateral movement, it's all the same.
So this French incident isn't just a political warning. It's a technical blueprint of what can go wrong. What are the two absolute fundamentals this attack reinforces?
The first one is so simple, data minimization.
If you don't need it, don't keep it.
That's it. The less data you store, the smaller your attack surface, and the less you have to lose when a breach eventually happens. And the second is least privilege access. Users, systems, they should only have access to the absolute minimum required for their job. Nothing more.
So an accountant can't get into HR files.
Precisely. And that principle, you know, enforced through regular audits and network segmentation, that's the only real way to reduce the damage from a successful intrusion.
Let's touch on attribution again. The French minister admitted they weren't sure about the ultimate motive: foreign interference, hacktivism, pure extortion. That uncertainty must make defense almost impossible.
It complicates everything. Sophisticated attackers are masters at obscuring their origins and mixing their motives. So this really reinforces a crucial lesson. You have to defend your systems based on the vulnerabilities you have, not just the threats you think you can identify.
So let's shift to the practical takeaways. This whole incident just screams for a defense in-depth approach. You need multiple walls, not just one big one at the perimeter.
Yeah.
That means modern tools, good governance, regular testing, and this is so important, effective employee awareness training. You can spend millions on firewalls.
But one successful phish is all it takes.
Exactly. And we also have to stress supply chain security. A lot of breaches start with a third-party vendor who has access to your network.
So to boil that down into actions you can take today, prioritize advanced email security, enforce MFA everywhere, especially for admins, and segment your networks. If an attacker gets into marketing,
they shouldn't be able to just hop over to the finance server.
Exactly. But the most crucial insight is that detection is just as important as prevention. You have to accept the reality. You will be breached eventually.
So the key is having monitoring in place, and this is the bit people forget, having tested incident response plans.
Right. The speed of your recovery is what determines the ultimate damage.
So it's not about building a perfect, impenetrable wall, because that's impossible.
It's impossible. The mantra from all this is clear. Preparedness, not perfection, determines the outcome. The future is zero trust architecture, assuming no one is trustworthy AI-driven detection and transparent reporting.
So quick recap. We've covered the truly alarming scope of the French breach, the critical role of the human element, both the repeat offender and the retaliatory motive from breach forms, and the simple entry points like email. The ultimate lesson here, it seems to be about damage limitation. If the modern attacker's goal is extortion using your sensitive data, what's your most powerful protection?
This breach shows us something really important. Even with law enforcement getting better, and that was a rapid arrest, the data will always be the target. So if an attacker's ultimate goal is extortion, the most powerful thing you can implement isn't necessarily a new firewall. It's ensuring that if a breach does happen, the least possible amount of sensitive data is even there to be stolen. So the real question is, what steps are you taking today to ensure your data exposure is minimized, regardless of a successful breach attempt?
That's a powerful thought to leave with. Preparedness in the face of inevitability. Think about that concept of data minimization this week. Thank you for joining us for the Deep Dive.